tonight. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for an opportunity in this fearless portion of this series. That God, we would just simply boil it down. I will trust you and I will not be afraid. God, that's the answer right there. I will trust you and I will not fear. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. God, open our eyes tonight to see what we need to see. God, open our ears to hear from you tonight. That God, we would hear exactly in our situation, in our circumstance, in the season of life that we're in. God, we would hear from you tonight, God. Father, I pray that our hearts would be hungry. We come in longing for you, longing for your word, excited to hear from you, excited to open up these pages. And God, that you would speak to us tonight. We come hungry tonight. And I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me tonight. God, I'm here. God, I'm hungry. Speak to me. I need to hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, two places tonight. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And Psalm 56. You can turn to Psalm 56, put a marker. Psalm 56, put a marker. And then flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Awesome. As we discussed last week, the greatest commandment that Jesus gives us is found in Mark, and he states very, very clearly. They're trying to test him. The Pharisees, the scribes, they're coming after him saying, hey, what is the greatest commandment? He just throws them for loops, says that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Top commandment of all is to love him. With everything that we've got, heart, soul, mind, strength, I'm in, you're everything, I love you, you have all of me. And that's what Jesus says. The greatest commandment is to love him. Second is to love others. The most repeated command, the most frequent command that he gives the church from Old Testament through New Testament, through God himself speaking, through prophets, through the writers of Scripture, the Holy Spirit speaking on the heart of man, and they write through Jesus' words himself, is do not be afraid. Over and over and over, the most repeated command that he gives the church, that he gives his followers, that he gives people who have come to him, people who recognize what it is to stand in awe and to reverence him and to fear him. He says, when you understand that and you know me, don't be afraid. This is the most repeated command in Scripture. Why do you think that is, folks? Greatest command is to love him. Most repeated, kind of pounded in our heads, is do not fear. Do not be afraid. Because you know what happens when fear shows up? Faith stops. Purpose stops. Progress stops. Fear is controlling. Fear has power and it has authority, folks. When you begin to understand that this is a spiritual word, fear. We're going to see. Come on, look at this. 2 Timothy, this is what it says, verse 7. He has not given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity, or a spirit of cowardness. This is what he's talking, it's a spirit. But this is a spiritual battle that you and I face over and over and over and over, is the authority that we would tend to lend over to fear, because it's a spiritual battle. Listen, God said this, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Well, we understand that fear is a spirit. We understand that this is a spiritual tendency for you and I to walk in fear, and God says it didn't come from me. That's not a part of what I've given you. Because we know, folks, when you and I walk in fear, it stops our faith. We can't progress further in our faith when we're walking in fear. Most repeated over and over. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Over and over and over, because it stops faith. And you could be, I mean, seriously, you think about it. Have you ever been on target and you know your purpose and you are moving and you are moving, and then something takes place and fear shows up and it stops your purpose? And it stops your progress. You were progressing maybe in a relationship, progressing maybe in your faith, progressing maybe in advancing in career, progressing, and then something takes place, fear shows up, stops the progress. Fear is powerful. It has power, folks. It has authority. If you lend to fear, you're giving fear authority over your faith. That's how serious this is. That's how real this is for you and I to understand the power and the authority that fear has in our lives and in our faith and our walk with Him and in our progressing, the advancing His kingdom and our purpose of our lives. I mean, we all listen, if you're a mom or a dad, I'm sure you don't remember when you were this big at the end of the diving board, right? But if you're a parent, you remember, you're treading water for days, it feels like, right? Would you please jump? I'm getting tired. Why are you afraid? It is 6 feet to the water. You are fine. You will make this. But what happens? They get to the end of the board and they freeze. That's not because they're all pumped to jump in. Their fear gripped them. Fear took authority over that last step. And you're like, I am treading water here. It's the deep end and I'm getting tired. Jump. I've got this. I've got you. You're okay. But that's what fear does to even us as adults when we are progressing the kingdom and we are walking in relationship with Him, and then we lend authority to fear and we stop at the end of the board and we don't take that last step. I tell you what, I can just picture God. I mean, this week I just had some time with God. I said, God, I'm just going to trust you. God, there is this and this and this going on. And God, I want to jump off the diving board to know that you are in that water, treading water, waiting for me. And I trust you in this. And I trust you in this. And folks, as His children, just as I am dad, and I mean, my kids are little Nemos now, but I mean, you're just like, I got you. Please trust me. Jump. I think there are times that God is looking at us going, would you please trust me in this? And jump. Because when you lend authority to fear, it stops your faith, it stops your purpose, and it stops your progress. And look at this. Look what He has given us. He says, I have not given you a spirit of cowardice or a spirit of fear. He says this, I have given you power, love, and discipline. Highlight those three. Power. This is where we get our word dynamite. Folks, it is explosive. This is when you understand you are walking in power in God. That is the opposite of timidity, or that is the opposite of being a coward. That is the opposite of fear. When you understand, God, you have given me power. This power, this word power, it means a supernatural ability. This, it means dynamite. It means explosive. It means mighty. It means an inner strength, folks. When we recognize, okay, God, that fear didn't come from you, but this inner strength, this power, this dynamite that you've given me has come from you, and that is what counters, for that is the opposite of fear. So He says, listen, I haven't given you fear, but I've given you something so much more than that. I've given you power. I've given you this supernatural, miraculous ability. That's from God. That's powerful. Powerful. It is explosive. It is dynamite in you and I. And when we understand and we grip what it really means that God has given us power, a supernatural might, this inner strength to be able to overcome anything that comes into our world. Because God, you have given me the ability to overcome. God, you have given me the ability to walk in this supernatural power, because that is what comes from you. And that can trump our fear. He says, I've given you love. This is, again, this quality, this agape love, the same love that God has for you and me. He says, this is what I've given you, power, and I've given you love. Listen, folks, 1 John 4 says you can't have love and fear at the same time. You cannot have love and fear at the same time. For if you fear, you cannot have love. For perfect love casts out fear. When you're walking in love, 1 John 4:18, when you're walking in love, it destroys fear. It casts fear away. There is a power in regards to love saying it is not about me, it's about you. There is a power in your marriage when you're walking. This is the word, the agape word. Use husbands, love your wives. I am going to lay down my life for another. That's what that word love means. Just as Jesus laid down His life for us, He gave up His life for another, meaning you and I. It's the same love, and that's the type of sacrifice that God has given for you and I to love. He says, when you understand what it is to love in that way, it casts out fear. Love and fear cannot coexist, folks. When you are walking in a Bible love and understanding how God has loved and how we are called to love with this not about me love, fear has to go. Cannot coexist. So He also says, and this is powerful here, when you understand this, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but I've given you power, love, and discipline. Write this one down. This is huge. Discipline means self-control. It means solid, good judgment. It means that you have the ability to prioritize in your mindset and make the proper decision based on self-control, based on discipline. When you understand this, folks, when you understand what it is to have this quality of self-control or discipline or making good judgment, that means this is something where if you get loads and loads of money, you don't become proud. You're not prideful. You're not arrogant. You're not way up here. In the same sense, it means when you go through struggles and you go through seasons and life happens, you have the ability to have this discipline, to have this self-control, to understand your mindset that you don't become angry, you don't become bitter, and you don't become hopeless. This is a powerful, powerful scripture for you and I, folks. God says, listen, I haven't given you fear. I've given you the ability to overcome fear in this, in the power and in the love and the self-discipline or self-control. I have given you the ability to go through a season. Folks, how many people know people of church who have gone through a season? It's just a tragedy. And they become bitter, angry, flopped out of church, and now they're hopeless. God says, that's not what I've given you. You've walked in fear. And folks, you and I have to come to grips with this. This is a powerful verse. And he says this, verse 8 says this, do not be ashamed. Look at this. He says, in all these things, I have given you power, love, and discipline, that we will be fearless, folks. We will not walk in fear, but we will be fearless. And look what Paul is saying to Timothy. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. This is what he says. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Walk in such a way that you are without fear when it comes to your relationship with Jesus. Folks, there are times, please hear this, there are times when you really are being light and you are being salt and you are totally surrendered and you have got to come to this place in trust. Listen, the world is not going to like you. Jesus tells us that. The world hated me, it's going to hate you as well. There are times that the world is going to face us and it's going to hate the church. There are times that the world is going to come against you personally. There are times that people in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, knowing that you are being salt and light, not being arrogant, not being mean, not being judgmental, not being hateful, but loving Jesus, that is being salt and light. There are times in that, folks, that the world is going to come against you. But he tells us this, don't be afraid. He says, you can't be ashamed. Timothy, guess what? Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Same word, power. Folks, you and I, when we understand our purpose and we understand that when we walk fearless and we are pursuing and we are not ashamed of Jesus, that we recognize that everyone has been desperate. Every single person around us in our worlds, including ourselves, are lost in sin. Desperate for an eternity. Folks, that should compel you and I to never be ashamed of the one who set you free and the one who has the ability to set them free by his work on the cross. This is what he's saying to Timothy. This is huge. Come on, number one of this message is this. I want you to see this. The folks, if we are going to be fearless warriors, let me ask you a question. Because as I've gone over this and over this and over this for several weeks, and I've brought, there's many reasons why we walk in fear. But I brought it down to two. Others and self. You think about it. When you have faced different things that have caused you to be afraid, it is generally because of other people or it's generally because of insecurities within ourselves. And we can be so self-destructive in ourselves. But let me ask you a question. Do others drive you towards fear or towards faith? When you break this thing down, when you see what God says about mankind and what we are to be fearless, we are to be fearless when we know that we're pursuing Him and we know we're walking right before Him and we know that the world's going to come against us. We know that there's people are going to talk about us, people are going to come against us, people are going to be angry that we stand strong on the God's Word, people are going to be angry that we look at marriage and say one man and one woman. People are going to be angry. There are so many different things that the world can call us haters because we're just saying, well, we just trust this thing. That's it. But how many walk in fear because of man? Isaiah 51:7 says this.
Listen to me, you who know righteousness. Now look at this. You who know righteousness. This word righteousness is right according to God. A right according to God's standard. A people whose heart, look at this. A people whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man. Look what he says. Listen, man is going to come against you. If you know that you were right according to my standard and your heart is lining up with my law, then do not fear. Look at what he says. Do not fear the reproach. That means the taunting of man. Do not fear that they're going to come against the church. Do not fear that they're going to come against you and they are going to taunt you and they're going to try to shame you. That's what reproach means, folks. Have you ever been taunted by the world based on your stand for truth? Where they will taunt you and they will try to shame you. Oh, you are a judgmental Christian, or you are one of those Bible believers. Or you don't believe in the freedom. You don't believe, and they will try to shame you and make you feel this big. This is exactly what Isaiah is talking about. That do not fear the reproach of man. It doesn't say it won't come. It says it's coming. Don't fear it. Or be dismayed. This word means confused. Don't be confused at the revelings. You know what revelings is? It is speech that is ugly. That's what that means. That they have abusive speech. They will call you every name. Listen, when we come and we understand that they can call me anything they want to call me. Being a cop for 20 plus years, I got some pretty thick skin. Unfortunately, being in the ministry for about 20 years, I've had to get thick skin. And that as well, based mostly on church people, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But I don't know. That's the way it is. But I can't be confused. And listen, when you are walking straight with him and you are being salt and light, you're going to make a difference, folks. And people are going to notice some things. People ain't going to like it. And they're going to spew out evil. That's what reveling means. It means to speak evil against, to abuse with speech. Look what he says here. The fear of man. I love this. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare. You know what a snare means? It means it entraps you. It stops you. Folks, how many times in your walk with him, and I think it really hits every single person, it hits me, where you knew God was really putting in your heart to speak to someone, talk to someone, to encourage somebody, and you really cared more about what they thought about that than what God thought? I think it probably happens every now and then to everyone. And he said, listen, when you really care more about what man thinks, it will stop you and it will trap you. But he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Folks, I have come to learn that when I really believe the Spirit of God is pressing me to speak something to somebody at a specific time, there are times that I have done my own thing and been so concerned about what that person might think and not go forward with it, where the result was dangerous. But I've learned to obey that and to walk in that and watch God's hand move in such powerful, powerful, powerful ways. Amazing, folks. Cannot be ashamed. Cannot walk in fear of what others may think, because that will stop you. Point number two to this is this. Folks, this is kind of huge because we deal with this from the moment you wake up, probably when you're sleeping. Your mind is constantly going. Does your thinking, does your mindset cause you to go towards faith or towards fear? This is real. Because when you recognize, in our mindset, we can make the smallest thing the biggest thing. You could worry yourself and worry yourself and worry yourself, and you could think and you could think and you could think, and you could blow things so way out of proportion in your mindset just by you thinking. And listen, he hasn't called us to walk in fear. What's he called us to do with our thoughts? What has he called us to do with our mindset? Colossians 2 says, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Things above means Christ. Where Christ is, heaven above, our mindset is to be focused upon him. That's where our mindset is supposed to be, focused on him. I want you to see this. Philippians 4 says this. This is huge. Because this is powerful in regards to our mindset. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, look at this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. When we recognize what a huge, huge matter this is, when we recognize what it is at times when we walk in fear, when God says, that is not for me. You are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your what? In Christ. Finally, brother, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, whatever is of any excellence, or anything worthy of praise. Well, who is it that we know is worthy of praise? Set your mind on things above. Well, Christ is the one who's worthy of praise. Dwell. That is deep thought, folks, on these things. Folks, our thought life, and again, I go over this, and I think, you know, I think there are times that in our lives, we can be our worst enemy. We can self-destruct based on allowing our mind to go places. We can self-destruct based on not taking this list of what God calls us to think on. And I think we can self-destruct where our mind, somebody says something, and it might be negative, and somebody might bring something up, and then you dwell on it, and you dwell on it, and you dwell on it, and then that brings in fear, and that brings in great, great fear, and then you just totally pause, and you totally get paralyzed, and you can't move forward based on something that somebody said, and your mind has taken it to the extreme. Crazy, folks. But that happens over and over and over based on our past. Sometimes our past haunts us at times. Based on our present, having no direction, and based on the future, the unknown. When we recognize these things, past, present, and future, people get so frozen because of their past. And we covered this a couple weeks ago. We've been set free from our past, folks. And then the unknown, the future. And it just paralyzes and it stops us when we allow fear to come in because we don't know tomorrow. And we don't know next year, and we don't know where we're going to be in 5 years. For some, that is, they let their mind take them to places that causes them to freeze up. And he tells us, listen, brethren, whatever's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, a good report, anything that is excellent, and anything worthy of praise, he says to dwell, put your mindset on these things. Folks, the deal is this. When you begin to understand the Word of God and you begin to know the Word and your faith, listen, are we walking in fear or faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we take this so real here at Believer's Chapel, recognizing how real the Word is. When you begin to understand the Word, you can trump anything that comes down your way that brings fear. No, my God said this about me. My God is my refuge. My God is my shield. My God is my strength. My God will never leave me nor forsake me. My God, and you start really just speaking out life and speaking out truth. No, I'm walking in healing. I am walking in a place that I am not going to be ashamed of the gospel. God, give me strength today for those who are. And you begin to rearrange your mindset. You begin to rearrange the words you speak that are going to affect your mind. Folks, you will see fear begin to flee. And you will see faith begin to grow. Are others driving you towards fear or towards faith? Is your thinking, your mindset, driving you more towards fear? Or are you thinking on what he tells us to think on and driving us more towards faith? See, look at this. Psalm 112, verse 7 says this. I will not fear evil tidings. You know what evil tidings are? Bad news. Folks, look at this verse. How is it that when we get bad news, please be honest with yourself, when bad news comes in, what is your first response? Fear? Be honest. When bad news comes in, doctor report comes in, financial report comes in, child report, whatever the case, when bad news shows up, and every single person who has breath has had bad news, what is your first response? He will not fear bad news, for his heart is steadfast. This word steadfast, it means fixed, immovable. For his heart is fixed or immovable or steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Folks, we need to get to a place in our faith. We need to get to a place in our faith that when bad news shows up, our first response is to trust him. God, you know all things. You knew this from the beginning of time before I ever had my first breath. God, every single day of my life, you had an understanding. And God, you've got this. Even in anything, God, you've got this. Even in tragedy strikes, God, I am still going to trust you. Even in death, God, I am still going to trust you. Even in sickness, God, I am still going to, I am disciplined. I am not going to allow anger or bitterness to show up, God. I am not going to allow me to come to this place of being hopeless when I know you, that Christ in you, there is great hope. And you begin to flip things around, folks, that we would, this is our goal in this church, is to build our faith to such a place when bad news shows up, the very first thing that comes is that we're going to trust the Lord. Amen. That we are, God, you got this. God, I trust you in this. Jesus, you're in charge. I surrender to you. I am yours. Any end result belongs to you. I'm in. I trust you. Gang, look it. Look it. Or we can let our mindset go somewhere. And when it really, really, really gets terrible and worse and awful, then for whatever reason, we turn to God. When he says, here, listen, don't fear bad news. For if your heart is fixed. Folks, how much time do you spend with the Lord? How much time do you spend with the creator of the universe and your one-on-one devotion and your time of study of him? How much time do you really spend with him so that your first response would go to him because you know him so deeply and so real? And you know, God, you know all things. This was your day marked in eternity and you've got this. And that would be your first response. Come on. Psalm 56. Got to get this here. Look at this. Folks, we sing songs based on this. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid. Now look at this. When, I want you to see this flip. Highlight when I am afraid. I will put my trust in you. When bad news shows up, I will put my trust in you. When a doctor report comes, I will put my trust in you. When that 4 a.m. phone call comes, I will put my trust in you. When the finances show up, God, I will put my trust in you. Look at this verse 3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Verse 4. In God whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. Look at the flip. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I have. There is an I will, and now there is I have. There is a switch that took place. What? What's in the middle? His word. His faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. What is right in the middle of going from having fear to having trust? Right here. I will put my trust in you. In God who I praise, I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. Verse 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Look at, in whose word I praise, I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. Every one of us have to get to a point. If we are going to understand that we are truly warriors for our King, that we serve in this type of God army, in this type of doing what God has called us to do on an individual basis, on a husband basis, on a wife basis, on a teenager child basis, on a church basis. If we recognize who we are called and what we're to do as warriors for Him, that we would walk in being fearless. Look at this. We've got to go from a place of being afraid to right here. I shall not be afraid. Oh, this is powerful. Look at this. For what can man do to me? Folks, we sing songs based on these Psalms. We sing very songs based on this direct psalm. I will not be afraid. When I know how great God is and I have this relationship and He has adopted me and I know He is the creator of the universe, I know that He knows all things, I know that He is sovereign, I know that He's all powerful, I know, I will not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Who is man compared to my God? And then we walk in this sense of not being afraid. Now look at this, verse 9. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know. Highlight this. We sung this last week in a song. Folks, when we're singing worship songs in this church, they are Bible-based truth that we are crying out back to God and how great and awesome and all-powerful God is. We sung this last week. This I know, that God is for me. When you understand the created universe is on my side, the creator of the universe. Look at Psalm 118, Hebrews 13. They totally mimic this, man. They echo this very thing over and over through Scripture. Listen, when I know God, what can man do to me? When I know that God is for me, God the creator of the universe is on my side. God the creator of all things, He is
for me in such a way. Look what it says. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. See what comes before being afraid? You want to conquer being afraid? It starts with trusting God. That comes first. It comes first in Scripture. For I have put my trust in God, I shall, therefore, I will not be afraid. He says it again. For what can man do to me? For what can man do to me? For my God is for me. Folks, that is powerful. If you walk out of here tonight knowing that God is for you, in any circumstance that you are in or you will be in, God is for me. God is for me. I will not be afraid. I'm going to put my trust in Him and I will not be afraid. Psalm 112 says this. We read it right in the very beginning of service, right after worship. Psalm 112, verse 7. I'm sorry. Isaiah 12:2. My bad. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. God is my deliverer. God is my salvation. Look at, He is my rescuer. That's what salvation means. I will trust. Trust comes first, folks. And what? I will not be afraid. See, please hear this. If we have a fear issue, if we've allowed the authority of fear to take place in our life, you know what the problem is? It's we haven't trusted God in everything who we are. Trust comes first. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. What do you think God expects for you and I? To walk in fear or faith? I mean, that's a simple one. When we see all through Scripture that God has called us to walk in faith, call us to not be afraid, that we would truly put our trust in Him. And the result, the biblical result, let me say this, please. When you know that you have put your trust in Him, that's when you know that you will not be afraid. See, when we are walking in fear, we need to revisit how much we really trust Him. Folks, this isn't surface level stuff, because when we are walking in fear, we are walking in a place that God has not called us to walk in. And yes, tragedy happens. Yes, bad days happen. Seasons of life happen. Not all the time. Hopefully they're rare. They should be rare. But when we walk in fear, we recognize that I have not exercised my trust in Him. Just bow your heads, please. Psalm 34:4, please hear this. Psalm 34:4. I have sought the Lord. Okay, that word sought, it is a deep pursuit. I have sought. I have gone into this level of pursuing God. I have sought the Lord. This isn't surface level just on Sundays or Saturdays. This isn't just the 3-minute deal. I have pursued you. I have gone deep. I am chasing you down, God. I'm going after you. That's what I have sought the Lord, and He heard me. And He delivered me from all my fears. Please hear that verse. That's powerful. I have pursued the Lord, and He heard me. And He delivered me from all my fears. You know what the pursuing the Lord is? Is trusting Him. God, I just trust You in this. I am going deep after You, God. I have to trust You in this. Because trust comes first. And God, You hear me. The Bible says that He inclines His ear. He leans into you and I when we cry out to Him, folks. What a powerful picture. God Almighty leans in to hear the heart that you cry out to Him with. And He has delivered me. Folks, God is a deliverer. He has delivered me from all my fears. Folks, as we just worship in this last song, I just want you to get before God in this song. Folks, is there any area of your life that you know that you've allowed the authority of fear to come in? Whether it's based on other people coming against you, whether it's based on your mindset, in your insecurities, in your limitations, in your worries. What area of your life is there yet you have opened the door, that you've allowed that authority of fear to come in that is not from God? And that tonight you begin to walk this thing out. And tonight that you would just get before God in this song. And that you tonight understand that I got to trust you first. And I have to come to this place of being totally dependent upon you. That's trust. That's faith. Totally dependent upon Him. That my security and my confidence are in you. Folks, you want the definition of trust? It is secure, confident, and I will depend upon Him. I'm fully dependent. I'm fully confident. I'm fully secure. Please hear this. The response to that, folks, is boldness. The response to that is being steadfast. When we become bold and steadfast based on our security and our confidence and our dependence upon Him and trusting in Him, then you will see. You not be afraid. Come on, let's stand to our feet, please.